Hello, folks. Welcome back to another episode here of Stoner TV. I'm very happy that you're interested again. And in this second episode here on Stoner TV, coming to you from Leipzig, Germany, in this second episode, I kind of want to pick up the thread where we left it last time. Last time I presented you the Nebra Sky Disc, the Himmelscheibe von Nebra, which is, as I showed you, the most astounding and significant artifact of archaeology that was ever found in Germany. And I tried to show you that this Nebra Sky Disc is telling a story of a time when rulership was born, when power came into Earth. And we kind of want to pick up the thread from there on. And in this episode, I just want to show this, how the history continued, and that there's a big continuity in human history that has to do with life, with rhythm, with chronology, with measurement of time, and that this is always connected to rulership, to the power. Okay, we're going to pick it up just to remind us. We're going to start here. We saw this, maybe not this picture, but we saw this thing last time already. I showed you this. This is Goseck. This is a sun observatory, and it's 7,000 years old, kind of. And this is claimed to be the eldest sun observatory that was ever found. There might even be older stuff, but this is the oldest to be found. This is 7,000 or 8,000 years old, and with this thing, it's just wooden poles. This is like kind of an ancestor of what was later becoming Stonehenge, but this is made of wood. And of course, this is a reconstruction, but this is definitely archaeologically proven. And with this big circus, these were meant to mark the sunsets and the sunrises on these cardinal days, on the winter solstice, summer solstice, and if you have those days, you can make a cross in the calendar. You have the four seasons, and you have kind of like the first calendar type. Yeah, this is how old is this? And I told you already last time, out of this developed the Nebra Sky Disc, which we see once again. And again, this is also to do with a calendar function. I told you this about that you can see with these angles, you can measure exactly, if you're at the right point, you can measure exactly at what time, at what day you have the winter solstice. This was absolutely important for our forefathers. And also this, we will ask ourselves today, why was that so important? And to get exactly on this point. So, I told you that from this Nebra Sky Disc on, we had rulership in our life. We had a ruler. We had the start of religion, a narrative. Hey, there's gods that drive around in a bark, and we have to support this entire thing. While before, in the old times, it was just nature. Things just happened. So this continues on, and I told you this is about 4,500 years old. And the next artifact I will show you, this is also archaeology, the next stuff is younger. This is maybe 3,000 years old, but check this out. This is really curious. The next thing we're going to see, it's these so-called golden hats. Wow, this is true stuff. You can see these in museums in Europe. These are golden hats. They all come out of the same time. It's the Bronze Age. It's nearly 1,000 years before our era, so it's about 3,000 years old, this stuff. They were found at named after where they were found. They were only found in southern Germany, Switzerland, and also parts of France. So Berlin, this hat of Berlin, which is the best one, was not found in Berlin, but I mean, this was already excavated maybe decades ago, and only in recent times, it hit the eye of the public. And it hit the eye of the public in Berlin, but it was not found in Berlin. Actually, one doesn't know where this was excavated. But this one was found in Schifferstadt, southern Germany, Aventon, France, and stuff. And this is a very interesting thing. these so-called helmets, and they are helmets. They have exactly the size that you can put it on a human head, and we can also see here. This was meant to be a head. This was worn. So these things are curious, aren't they? I mean, how do I come now from the Nebra's guidance to those? In between, there's a couple of thousand years or a thousand years time in between, but I see a continuity there. Because what makes these heads so very interesting is all these fine patterns that you can find there, that you can see there. And there was one big German archaeologist, probably he's the biggest name in German archaeology after Second World War, Wilfried Mengin. And Wilfried Mengin, so he's a smart guy, he's coming from universities and stuff. He proposed that these patterns there are not just for beauty or something, but they have a certain function. And he claims that these patterns show a system of chronology. It's sort of a calendar. You know, with these little things, they are not by accident. They have a certain number, and with these you can also follow the time, you can follow the years. And he proposed that it's both, it's a lunar and solar calendar that you can find in these hats. Now, ain't that interesting? I mean, I love that stuff, but why is it then a hat? You know, this seems to be this already ties together the thing of time, of knowledge of time, of knowledge of calculating the time, calculating these special days in the year, the solstices and the equinoxes. And somehow this is linked to certain rituals in which you have to use this hat. And this hat is also then a symbol. Not everybody was supposed to wear this. I mean, these were holy artifacts. So, of course, we don't know it for sure. These things don't come with a description. We're talking about archaeological finds. Eh? But, I mean, they have a calendar function. And they are pure gold. And they were worn as hats. And for me, this is ritualistic stuff. With these hats and the calendar, the knowledge of time, the knowledge of chronology, the knowledge of the path of the sun, this was meant to give a certain power. It had a certain dignity. Not everyone could wear this hat. So only the ruler or something like the highest, let's call it spiritual, religious leader, he was the one who was wearing these hats. This is 1,000 years after the Nebra sky disk. And this is interesting. I mean, these hats remind of a lot of things. There's, by the way, these are not the only ones. These are the best ones, these four, the highest ones. But this phenomena is not only in Germany. We've got similar stuff like these ones. These were found in Spain. And actually, in the first when they were found, is already some years back, people considered them as bowls. They thought it's a bowl, not a hat, but a bowl. And that's also interesting. I mean, I might digress here a little bit, but this is interesting stuff, because the bowl is a very old symbol. It's a very old symbol of female power. It's the same like the grail. A grail and a bowl is similar. It's kind of the same. So this is also this bowl symbolic. You can find it in the tarot. You can find it in the entire grail mythology. And we might hit this in a special episode. But now it's just a little digression. But it's interesting that also these bowls have this old tradition. Going back way beyond Christianity, back into pagan times, where it is just a matter of fertility. And these bowls are a symbol, a metaphor for fertility, for Mother Nature that is just producing all the time. In Germany, we also speak of the Füllhorn. This is also an old story of coming out of Celtic times, stories of abundance, similar to the grail. Now, this is the idea. But So it was so when you find something like this, you think it's a bowl, but nowadays it's more likely that these are not bowls; these are hats. They were also worn, and they have also these really obvious patterns. And I don't know if those that are found here, these smaller ones, have the same calendar function. I don't know if they were checked on that exactly, but it's obviously it's the same time. It's Bronze Age. It's 1000 before our era, and it's a similar thing. We found another one also in, I've got one more. This one is coming from Portugal. It's also the same time. And there was another one found even in Ireland. So we're talking about a common European culture in the Bronze Age. And this had to do with the rulership and the religion that came together. That's important. That's why I'm telling this. That rulership and religion, they go hand in hand. And it was in that time already. And it was the knowledge of time, the wisdom of time, the knowledge of the sun path that was, so to say, the guarantee of rulership, if you are the master of time. Now, this is an interesting picture. I put this in of different things. This is actually from a German children's story. It's called Räuber Hotzenplotz, written by Ottfried Preußler, and this is the movie that was made from. By the way, you might recognize this one, this guy here. He's maybe the most famous German actor, and I'm sure you know him. This is Gerd Fröbe, and actually he was born here in Saxony, where we live, and Gerd Fröbe, he was the one in James Bond, Goldfinger. Goldfinger, this Gerd Fröbe. So you know him here in another role, and he's playing the Räuber Hotzenplotz. But why I was choosing this photo, I could have also chosen some pictures of any Harry Potter movie or stuff like that. But I want to show that, look at the shape of the hat that this guy is wearing on the left side. The guy on the left side is the sorcerer in the story. He's a sorcerer, a magician. And just check on his robe. That even now, if you make something like Harry Potter, if you write a children's book or in our entire fairy tales and all that stuff, how is the sorcerer picturized with this sort of hat? And now I think this is not by accident. I think that this is like an echo of an elder time that sorcery, witchcraft, magic was considered with a hat like that. Yes, and also interesting is the coat that this guy is wearing, because it has also some interesting symbols on it. And now, if we keep this in mind, this I just want to show that the continuity of this, that even nowadays in fairy tales, we have these sorts of witch hats. But I mean, maybe they go longer back. Interesting also, if I think about it, nowadays it's when you're joking, or when people make jokes on people like me, you know, then they say, oh, there's this guy with his tinfoil hat and stuff. And I always joke and say, hey, forget the tinfoil hat. You got to try those ones, the golden ones, you know, check out this one. and who knows? I mean, I'm joking about this, but we don't know if people in the Bronze Age, I mean, maybe they had a certain effect by wearing this golden hat. I mean, I don't know this, you know. Curious. But it's still in our memory that this has something to do with magic, you know, and there it's shown. Interesting also the robe, and especially if you compare it with the next one. Now we're getting serious again. This is child stuff. Check out this. This is a cape. Yeah, it's a cape. There you have the hat, and then you wear it as a cape. It's the cape of the German Kaiser Heinrich, I guess it was the Zweite, the Second, I'm not sure, Kaiser Heinrich. And this is 1,000 years old. This comes out of medieval times. Kaiser Heinrich lived at the millennia of the medieval times, around the year 1000. And this is actually an amazing piece of cloth, because it's the only one of very, very few cloths of this time that are still complete. This is very, very fine texture with gold in it, and it's an amazing piece of archaeology as well. No, well, it's not archaeology because it was not dug out. It was always in Bamberg. That's actually where you can still find it. You can still see this. It's in a town called Bamberg, small town in northern Bavaria. You should check this out. You know, if you're ever traveling in Europe or in Germany, these are also places that I really tell you are nice to visit. Bamberg, beautiful town, typical Germany, very medieval architecture, interesting stuff, very nice. And there's also a dome there. And in this dome is a museum. And they have, in this museum, in their collection, there's this piece. This was the cape of the Kaiser Heinrich. Kaiser is the emperor, the highest rulership possible, yeah? And if we look closely on this cape, we see interesting symbols. I mean, for example, this one you might recognize. This is comes from the zodiac. This is there are symbols from the zodiac here. Yeah, you see here the twins and. Now that's interesting because the zodiac, just for a moment, let's think, what is a zodiac? The zodiac is also nothing else than a wheel in the sky that is measuring chronology. It's sort of a big calendar. It's nothing else. It's like Lynyrd Skynyrd was singing, big wheels keep on turning. That's what it is. That's what the zodiac is. It's a wheel on the sky, and it's a measurement of time. Of course, it's big times, but that's the same thing. So again, we have this combination of time, of the bigger rhythm, and of rulership, and combined with magic. These three things come together, and they come together in these strange golden hats, and they also come together here. We're in a totally different time. This is medieval times. This is 1,000 years old. The gold hats were 3,000 years old. The Nebra's Sky Disc is 5,000 years, or 4,500 years old. And Goseck, what I showed you first, where they found out how to measure the exact date of the solstices, this is 7,000 years old. So we see a continuity. Ain't that interesting? This is really an amazing piece, the Bamberger Kaisermantel. That's the way you can find it. And this is still on exhibition. You can watch this. I've seen this with my own eyes. It's very interesting. And it also reminds me of the cape of the magician, of the sorcerer that we saw in the last picture in this child movies. It's the same connection. Now, the next thing is also what I'm going to throw in there, in this continuity. The next thing is a crown. Now, what I want to say probably goes with any crown. This is the crown of the Habsburg monarchy, and who also were not only the emperors of Austria-Hungary, but also before they were emperors of the German Empire and stuff. And not the modern German Empire, but this medieval empire, Holy Roman Empire of German nation, that's what it's called. So the Habsburg are an old ruler family, but this goes for any crown. What is a crown? What I'm saying now is a crown is maybe like an echo from this old knowledge where one knew that the knowledge of time is giving you leadership, is giving you rulership. It's special knowledge that is putting you above the other people. The knowledge of time, and in those days was also knowledge of metallurgy. But this is an old tradition, and I think that crowns are actually at the end of this development. From the Nebra's guides, you come to these golden hats, but they were kind of not so practical in using it. You couldn't move a lot if you have a 1 meter long hat on your head. And so this is a further development, a kind of a miniaturization. It's getting smaller, yeah? But this is still there. Also interesting are all these jewels there. Now this is also an old stuff. I mean, if you look at Old Testament of the Bible, the Hebrew priests, they also already had jewels. They had cloths here on their breast, and also with jewels. And There's some people say this, there's a connection between these jewels and their duties and their work that they had with the covenant of the Ark, which is interesting, and we will talk about this more on another day, but which is also an artifact of power, an artifact maybe even of energy, some kind of, yeah? And maybe there's a connection. Maybe there's a connection between these certain precious stones that you need if you work with certain energies. Just thinking, you know. But this is interesting, and I guess that the guys who were wearing these crowns, I mean some Habsburger monarch, I don't think that he has this knowledge. This knowledge got lost over the development of thousands of years. It got lost, but it's somehow an old echo. These are the symbols of rulership, the symbols of sovereignty, and the symbol of rulership is the symbol of if you rule over time. If you have the mastership of time, and that's why it was always important for rulers to have the control over time, and there's many examples for this, not only in European history. Only one example I might lay out there is in Nepal, or no, better to say in Tibet, the Tibetan culture. There the lamas, one of their highest rituals, or of the most important rituals they have, is the Kala Chakra ritual. Now Kala Chakra, that is Sanskrit. And it means, it's always Sanskrit, it's not to translate one-on-one, yeah? It's like our modern languages, but it kind of means Kala is time, the flow of time. And a chakra, we know this from yoga, the seven chakras we have in our bodies, they are spirals, they are vortexes. A chakra is a wheel, that's what it is, a wheel. So the Kala Chakra ritual is a ritual of the wheel of time. Sounds interesting, and it definitely is. Yeah? And the Dalai Lama nowadays, the Tibetans are spreading the religion all over the Western world, and the Dalai Lama comes to many countries, and he's performing this Kala Chakra ritual. And many Westerners who have no idea about the stuff, they go there and they say, ah, there's this guy, nice guy from the Tibetan, these Tibetan monks, they're always so friendly and humble, you know. But we're talking about power here. So how does fit the Dalai Lama in there? This humble old man. But actually these Kala Chakra rituals, they are not so harmless as they seem to be. As a matter of fact, when the Kala Chakra ritual starts, the first thing the priests do, the Tibetan priests do, is they have these ritualistic daggers. And in the moment, I can't remember the word of it, wasn't it donji or something? Sorry if I'm saying that wrong, but it's ritual daggers. And with these daggers, that's beforehand, you go into the ceremony, with these ritual daggers, you have to ban the earth goddess, the earth power, the force of the earth. And they ban it with these rituals. Yeah? And I tell you, that is already the moment where I would step out of this ritual. I will never participate in a ritual that in which you have to ban the earth, because the earth, you know, this is where we come from. This is I don't participate in anything of this. This makes me suspicious, rituals that go in this way, you know, banning the earth and then starting a ritual that has to do with a rhythm and time. Sounds a little bit like black magic to me, wearing the sorcerer's hat or whatever. Yeah, but this is the old continuity. And all the time, or throughout history, it was a question of highest rulership to be the master of the time. So, in what calendar do we live today? What calendars do we have today? Well, today we live in the Gregorian calendar. That's what it's called, and it's named after this guy, a pope. This is Pope Gregory, I guess it was the 13th, is that right? And he lived in the 16th century. And this pope, he made a calendar reform, because the old calendar was kind of running out of rhythm, I mean, because you know, our solar year is it's not exactly 365 days, but it's 365 point something. It's a quarter of a day nearly every year that that comes there. So that's why we have in our modern calendar every 4 years we have this a special year where we put one day in, so we can stay on this. But in the old days they didn't do it. So after hundreds of years, the calendar was kind of totally messed up, and you couldn't celebrate the festivities that of the church at the right time anymore. It was all messed up. So it was Pope Gregory said, we're going to make a new calendar. Now that's interesting. He's a pope. He's the one who has the power over this, because nobody else could do it. Now, what was the calendar that this guy was reforming? Nowadays we speak of this calendar, the Gregorian calendar. The older calendar comes from this guy. This is Julius Caesar, one of the greatest emperors of Roman Empire. This is Julius Caesar. And he invented the Julian calendar, which is the Julian calendar, which went all the time until the 16th century, when then it was kind of out of shape. And then Pope Gregory decided to change it again, to make a new calendar. Now, why am I telling you that? Because this is interesting. I mean, who's making the calendars? The most powerful people of the time. The Pope and the Roman Emperor. Now this is really, this is the highest rulership in their own definition that we can find. And isn't it interesting, and I might digress again, but talking about rulership, do you know that the Pope gives himself this title of the Pontifex Maximus? That's Latin, Pontifex Maximus. That wants to say he's the highest bridge builder, a pons bridge, Pontifex Maximus. He's a bridge maker, the maximal, the highest bridge builder. Interesting symbol also, if you think of that. If we have all these Freemason symbols in background, yeah, okay, the Pontifex. It's a feature of architecture, you know. And the Roman bishop, the Pope, calls himself the Pontifex Maximus. But this title Pontifex Maximus comes not from the church or even from the Bible or something. Not at all. The Pontifex Maximus was also the title that this guy gave himself. And this is true. You can check this up. The Roman emperors called themselves already Pontifex Maximus. And the Roman bishops afterwards, when Christianity came, the Pope, the Roman bishop is always the Pope. They just stepped in this continuity to show that we have the power. We're not talking about a religion as something that you do in your private, you know, who you're praying to. No, we're talking about power here. Rome is the center of power. And the Pope, in his own understanding, is not just a spiritual man or a spiritual leader. No, we're talking about rulership. And this was over, and I might digress, but on the other hand, I'm not. This was over 1,000 years in European history, a big confrontation. Who is the legitimate ruler? The Pope, or is it the Emperor, the Kaiser? And over centuries, you know, there were this confrontation, because the Pope, he also said, we have a worldly rulership. So the Pope himself calls himself the Pontifex Maximus. It's the title of the Emperor of Rome. So again, back to the calendars. We see it's the Pope and it's the biggest emperor, one of the biggest in human history, you know, Julius Caesar. These guys make calendars. So already there you see the connection of power and chronology, measurement of time. This is only, you know, the rulership, they tell the people, hey, our rulership is God-given. But what they see themselves is they are the masters of time. Even if they don't know this stuff anymore, because I guess if you ask the Queen right now about this stuff, probably, I don't know, but probably she doesn't know what you're talking about, you know. What is this? But so they don't know this anymore. I guess this knowledge vanished in the in long terms. But still, this echoes. These are the insignia of power, the symbols of power, the crown, the cape, the zodiac. You know, and it's also where power and religion and also power and occult traditions they come together. They go as a pair. And this is what I want to show here, that we have this continuity, even if most of the actual knowledge got lost. Yeah, because this knowledge got lost. This is and brings us to a very deep question that I'm wondering already a few years. And sorry, folks, this is getting really far out the box thinking that we're coming to now. So, it's also speculative. We're here together with an open mind. So, I'm going to lay it on you. Just thoughts, you know, it's not already proven, this stuff. But what I always wondered for a long time already is, why was it for our forefathers so important to get this accuracy on measuring time, to know exactly when we have the winter solstice, not one day more or less? Why this accuracy? And why were they putting in so much work, so much effort, so much... why was it so important for them? Just to find out when we have these cardinal days. What was driving those people? Okay, the first answer we have is, well, probably has to do with agriculture. And of course, there is a connection between the upcoming of calendars. They come at the same time as agriculture is coming. So there's a little connection there. Also with the playouts and seasons and stuff. But as a farmer, and many of you know this, even if you work in your garden only, as a farmer, it's not important to have this accuracy, isn't it? Because in every year, I mean, you go with the weather and the climate, and this changes from year to year. There's in one year the spring season starts earlier than the year before, where maybe the winter season was much longer. So there's no use in an accurate calendar that tells you, hey, when it's the, just for saying, when it's the 15th of May, you have to sow this. That's not how agriculture is working. That's not how farmers are working. I mean, these farmers, they are connected with the land, connected with the weather, or at least they should be, and they work out of intuition. And now it's the right time. Now I'm going to sow. And even not every farmer is doing it at the same time. You know, they don't need this calendar. I come from a small village, and our farmers, they didn't work this way. So why then? Why then this all this effort to find out the exact date? Now, I've got two kind of theories or theses on that, and maybe we can also combine them. And one is also really far out, but hey, I'm going to share it with you anyway. Why not? For the first thing, I have to tell you something about the moon. Now, we could talk a lot about the moon. There's a lot of stuff going on. But for this thesis, let's just imagine that maybe the moon is also not what it seems to be. Maybe the moon is a tool of having influence on the life force on Earth. And then again, if the moon has an influence, and it has influence on menstruation of the women, it has an influence, they say, on the tides and stuff. What we see there is also rhythms. Menstruation is nothing else but a rhythm, isn't it? So again, we're in this chronology of time. For a woman, she has exactly this rhythm. Not exactly, it can change, of course, but it's a rhythm. It's like a wave. So some people say that with the moon, the moon is a tool to unite the rhythm of all life forces on Earth. And some people say that there was a time before the moon. It's true that the Greeks call it the archaic times, and Arcadia. archaic, when I said not archaic, Arcadia. Et in Arcadia ego, you might have heard that one. This is this picture of Nicolas Poussin that has a connection with all this Dan Brown stuff, and which is also interesting, and we're going to hit it at another time. But the Greeks said that Arcadia was like we have in the Bible, the paradise, where people were, they had no bad thoughts, everything was easy, they were naked, they were not ashamed. Paradise. Just totally connected with earth and with rhythm, you know, you live and no mind trouble. And this is what the people, what the Greeks call the archaic times, Arcadia. And they say Arcadia was a time with no moon. Interesting, isn't it? So they say there was a time before the moon. And when the moon came, there was the end of Arcadia, the end of paradise. And all of a sudden something changed in the rhythm, in human behavior, because that's in the end what it always is. If we're talking about rhythm, we live in rhythms. Rhythms are on our daily life, our body functions in rhythms. The earth has the seasons, but it's for you and me, for our bodies as well. And the idea is that if you manipulate or if you influence the rhythm, you influence the behavior of human beings, or of living beings, you might say. So this is the idea, that, and it's not only my idea, I mean, some people are discussing this, that maybe the moon has something to do with manipulation. I know this is far out stuff, because for so many years the moon was our friend, wasn't it? I mean, we love to dance in the moonlight and stuff, and I still do, you know, I'm not in this good-bad thinking. Yeah. But okay, let's just consider the moon has an influence on our time and our rhythm. Now, maybe for our forefathers, a long time ago, from the Skoczek Sky Observatory, Sun Observatory, maybe at those times, people wanted to get rid of this moon rhythm. And in an effort to get out of this moon rhythm, maybe they focused on the sun rhythm. And that's the reason why it was so important for them to get the sun's rhythm in absolute accuracy. Because the sun is absolutely exact, you know. It's an exact path every year. I mean, the sun, the path of the sun hasn't changed for a long time. We don't know what it was 100,000 years ago. But for what we always see and what we talk here, the sun is valid. It's got always the same pattern, the same rhythm. You can follow it, and once you're in it, you can kind of tune yourself into this solar rhythm, so that you're protected from the loony stuff. I mean, it's just an idea. And I'm not saying that I believe this one in one, but maybe this was the reason for our forefathers to focus so much on the sun to get rid of the moon influence. This is interesting. And now the second idea that I have, why they were so accurate on checking out these cardinal days, maybe, and we can connect this with the moon stuff, maybe you need accuracy for certain ritualistic performances, for certain magical performances. For certain magical operations, you need the right time. They come only at the right time frame. So you need the right time. You need the right time, you also need the right place. Where? And I was talking already last time to you about Nebra and this entire country there. This is not the only place, it's interesting stuff. So if you're at the right time, at the right place, then doing the right stuff, performing the right words. Words are also frequency. This is what we still have in our echo of, like also in Harry Potter, where they have always these magic spells that they point out, ridiculous and stuff like that. So you have to, the words, or some sort of action. Maybe it's even a certain motion, a certain movement that you have to perform, a dance or whatever, something like this. So at the right time, at the right spot, doing the right things, performing the right things, and then maybe you need or it helps to have certain gadgets that support your magic stuff. And that may be the magic wand, but that may also be, again, these golden hats. That's where they come into tune. So this is, I know this is far out of the box, but come on, we're among us, yeah, we can do this. maybe that was the reason why it was so important to get exactly the right time. You had to have it to perform certain rituals, and then we can combine this with maybe the will to emancipate yourself from lunar rhythms. To get free of this, you had to perform certain rituals, and you had to do those at the right time. Just one thing I want to throw in, and this, I'm sure some of you already have this idea blinking up in the head. Check out one time this YouTube channel, it's an American guy, Crow777. He's talking about the lunar waves. Interesting stuff. And I just want to mention it here, because if there's something going on with the moon that we didn't see so far, if the moon has indeed an influence on us, then we have to focus this. And now this Crow777 said there's this strange phenomenon of the lunar waves. I won't explain it totally here. Check it out. Maybe another time we're going to focus only on the moon. But for now, what's important for me at this point is Crow777. And the other guys that are examining this strange phenomena of the lunar wave, they say that this phenomena doesn't come every day of the year, but that it's they found out that this phenomenon of the lunar wave is most likely to happen at a certain time, and it's the time around Easter. And wow, now if I just take this. We are free spirits. I don't say this is true, this is wrong. I mean, we just take information and see what we do with it. But if I hear it at Crow777, and he's pointing out that the seasons have a significance of when these lunar waves show up, then this points maybe in the same direction. Time is a very important thing here. So for people, was it necessary to get this exact timing to perform certain rituals? That may be helpful. I don't know. This is the thing. If you ask me, do I believe this? I'm not sure. I'm not sure if they were successful with these efforts. If you do these rituals, if you can really emancipate yourself from that, I don't know. But I guess that was their motivation. That was what they were doing. That's what. And you see, this was a matter over thousands of years. This Gozek is 8,000, 7,000 years old, and the gold hats are 3,000 years old. So only between theirs is 4,000 years. Such a long tradition, is it? And that's maybe what was so important for the people at those times, to emancipate yourselves from this influence of the moon. I know this sounds loony, but hey, that's what it is. Yeah, interesting is also that coming back to the calendar stuff again. So if calendars and the measurement of time and the control of the rhythm, if this is such a basic old thing, and for such a long time, if that's connected to rulership and power, that explains why in our times, in our modern history that we can overview, that whenever there were big overthrows in society, there was at least the try to get a new calendar in. For example, after the Soviet Revolution, the Soviets tried to get a new calendar in. Also, at the French Revolution, they also tried this. And this is a picture of the French Republican calendar. This came directly within the revolution. Was not on one day, but within the revolution, that's one of the first things they did. They changed the calendar. Because they said, this old calendar comes from a pope. It's Gregorian calendar, but we are now the Republicans, the new man, whatever they saw themselves, a new age. And that's why we need a new calendar, a new rhythm. You see? This is the French Republican calendar. And it's interesting. I mean, of course, it's not anymore in practice. They divided the year into 12 months. And they said every month has 30 days. That's nice, and we have everything is in order. The problem is only that 12 times 30, you get only 360. So there's 5 days missing. Of course, these 5 days they shifted in somehow in the year, but they had this strict order. 12 months, every month has 30 days. And now, interestingly enough, the month was also divided, but not as we do it into 4 weeks, but the 4 weeks of 7 days is what our rhythm is. Also interesting where this stuff comes from. We can also hit that. But the French, they divided the month into three decades. Three, I'm not saying weeks, but decades that have 10 days. The first has 10 days, second 10 days. You can always see this, here, this is 1 month, and you can see first 10 days, and then there's sort of separation. It's not a week, it's the first decade is through, and the second decade, and then the third. That's the way they divided time. Of course, there's many possibilities how to do it. But why I'm mentioning this is, it's a revolutionary calendar. You make a revolution, and to manifest this new order, you bring in the new calendar, a new rhythm of time. But of course, also, this shows us that even those guys who made revolutions, they were not at the top of the pyramid, weren't they? Because these calendars, they didn't stay very long. They did not have the same power like this Pope Gregory, who said, hey, I'm putting on a new calendar, and this was 500 years ago, and we still have this. This was not to succeed, this Republican calendar. Same like the Soviet calendar. And there's many, many curious ones as well in these calendars. Yeah, and here I've got a picture. This is also from a movie. Also from a German movie, and it's based also on a German story. This is by Michael Ende, German writer Michael Ende, and this his novel was called Momo. And in Momo, there was also a movie made of it. There are these gray men, and these gray men, they steal time. That's what their job is. That's what their thing is. And Momo, she's just a girl. She's this innocent child, you know, living out of heart, living, so to say, in this archaic consciousness. In this, like when I talked about the Nebra sky disk, in the very beginning, they were just looking at nature. Oh, sun, moon, stars, wow, beautiful. Momo's in that state, you know, and the gray men, they try to steal time from her. Control her. That's and these are all, like you see, they have all the same clothes, they have the same hats. These are gleichgeschaltet. How do we say that? I mean, these are all on the same track, same thinking, same clothes. It's like a uniform. So time has also to do, rhythm and time of time has also to do with individuality. It has to do with rulership, when everybody has to go with the same time. Another interesting story you might have heard and we go back to another time, we go back to ancient times again. You might have heard of King Gilgamesh, king of Uruk. This is in Mesopotamia, Euphrates and Tigris, nowadays Iraq. In the old days it was Babylon. And Gilgamesh is one of those yeah, mythical, but also he was probably also a historical figure. He was one of those kings, King Gilgamesh. And there's this big Gilgamesh epos. This is one of the oldest stories that was written down that we have on Earth, the Gilgamesh epos. And in this epos, of course, there's different versions of it, and it varies from point to point. But at one version that I read, and I was not reading the originals, but one version that is told about King Gilgamesh is, that at a certain time, the goddess Inanna, also an interesting figure, the goddess Inanna talked to Gilgamesh, probably in his dream, you know, he was dreaming, and Inanna speaks to him, and she told him, go to the Lebanon mountains in Lebanon, nowadays also Lebanon, and there's this great cedar forest, cedar trees. They are all over Lebanon, or they used to be. Nowadays, not really anymore. But still, in the flag of Lebanon, you can still see this tree, the cedar. I hope I'm saying this right. And there was, in this old age, there was this one holy cedar tree. And Inanna told Gilgamesh to go there and chop down the tree. And from this tree, from the wood of the tree, he should build himself a couple of drums, two drums. And they were named Puku and Miku. Puku and Miku. Some say also there's different versions of this. Some say this was only drumsticks or something out of this wood, but and this Puku and Miku stuff. But what is the story here? He's supposed to build drums and then start playing a rhythm. And again, we see it. And with this rhythm, he got the people of Babylon to follow him. They could not resist. They could not resist this rhythm. With this rhythm, he was kind of manipulating their own rhythm. So they could not live by their own will and their own freedom, but they had to follow this. Similar like in the galley in the Roman times, you know, when they were rowing, the slaves were rowing, there was also this guy who was playing drum. Boom, boom, boom. This is a rhythm. This is, you cannot resist it. We human beings, we cannot resist any rhythm changes. I mean, the only thing you can do is strengthen your own rhythm. I mean, that's the only thing. But we cannot live without rhythm. I mean, this is life. Life is always frequency. It's always vibration. I mean, Rasta man speaking. But you know what I'm saying? This is, it's a form of rhythm. And that's what this Puku and Miku was also there. Now, there's many of these stories. I'm telling you always throwing it in there, some stuff of German culture. Yeah? So you can dig some of this as well. In Germany there's this, and every child knows the story. We have many of these fairy tales actually in Germany. Germany is a country where a lot of this stuff comes from. But there's this one story, it's called the Rattenfänger von Hameln. Rat catcher of Hameln. Anyway, there's a story. Hameln is a small town in Germany, and the story goes they had a plague of rats. Rats were all over the place, and they couldn't get rid of them anymore. The rats were controlling the city, and it was hard life. And then there came this Spielmann, a troubadour, a musician, these guys who were traveling from town to town. And this is also interesting. Sorry, we're going to hit it another time. But this guy comes into the town, and he's playing a flute. And he sees the problem they have in this town. Oh, and not any time to celebrate and party, because they are all suffering under this plague. So he comes and says, okay, people of Hameln, I can take you get rid of the plague. I get all the rats out. And they say, oh, how do you do this? He said, let it do it my way. I get all the rats out, and but for this I want my fair share. And what he's doing, he's playing a melody on a flute. He's playing a melody, and again, there we have it. Music, rhythm, a sequence if you wish. He's playing a melody in his flute, and all the rats in the town, they have to follow him. They walk behind him. And so he leads them out of the town and leads them out in the trenches where they can kill them all, you know. Interesting. So he comes back then to the town in this little story, and the people in the town are happy, but they don't want to pay him. Because they say, this is a freak, you know. Probably he had long hair, and they made jokes on him. You know, that wasn't those times. These were free Roman musicians, and they were not rich, and they did not have like good handwork and stuff. And they say, come on, we don't have to pay him. And they were beating him out of the town, you know, kicked him out. But then this guy, talking about power of rhythm, that's what it is. This guy said, okay, now you fooled me, now I'm going to pay it to you back. And then next day he went in, and playing again his flute and his melody. But this time he was not getting all the rats out of the town, but all the children. All the children of Hameln had to follow him, couldn't resist. So again, this is also just another story. We see so many of those. And the common link, the red thread in it is, there's a certain power. If you have the knowledge of time, then you can maybe even manipulate. You can manipulate time. And if you can manipulate time, you can manipulate everything living and human beings. So this is why this was so important over thousands of years, that it was so important for the guys who made the Nebra sky disc, as well as the Habsburger with their crowns, and it's still to the current day. And this is why popes and emperors, and why the Dalai Lama performs his Kala Chakra ritual, and because this has to do with power. Power. It's the rule over life. Now, if we see this amazing, we see this long continuity, then the question is, what about us? How can we get free of that? Well, we might look for other calendars. By the way, this I also want to drop in. For many years, I was also critical about our calendars. Like this right now, there's many calendar movements, 13 moon calendar and stuff like that. And for many years, I was running also with this, you know. Because I also, the arguments are, well, our modern calendar, the coming from, this is a calendar from the gray guys. This is our calendar. This is industrial calendar. This is the rhythm of the machine age, you know. It's forcing us. It's the Puku and Miku playing for the slave life or something like that. This is our calendar. So I was also with it. Let's change our calendar. Maybe find a better one, more to nature, you know. But actually, nowadays, I don't see this anymore. Because when I really look at the solar calendar, this is absolute accurate. And the calendar we have right now, it's 100% solar calendar. And there's no, in the solar calendar, there's no place of manipulating. Because it's nature that provides the course. You know, if a pure solar calendar, you just react to what you see on the sky. It's nature, it's the sun, 100%. And indeed, some people say, yeah, but we need 13 moons, and they also come with a Kabbalistic number change, number magic, you know, from 12 to 13. 12 is the old number, and 13 is the number of the new age, and stuff like this. There's many of this going on, but it's just not so true. Because the number 12 is also presented by nature. If we really follow, you leave it all out, you just trust your own eyes. How many full moons do we have a year? The year is defined. The year is defined exactly by the sun. You know, it's 365 point a quarter days. Exactly. This is defined. Now in this wheel, how many full moons do we have there? How many full moons? The answer is, most years we have 12, some years we have 13. Because moon calendar and solar calendar, they don't harmonize, and they don't have the same time. The solar calendar is 365 point a quarter days, and the lunar calendar is a little bit less. It's 350 or something. So it doesn't fit. In some years you have 13 full moons, but in most years you have got 12. That's why we have 12 moons. Month comes from the word moon. And it's a true thing. I mean, most years you have 12 months, so you divide the year into 12. That's why also the zodiac is divided into 12. And hey, wow, if we follow this path, but I have to watch the time, wow, we're going to hit interesting stuff. I mean, we're going to geometry, and why do we have 360 degree that we learn in school in the circle and all this stuff. This goes all back to the number 12. Because we have, in most years, we have 12 full moons in a solar year. This is just nature giving us. We cannot change it. But many people nowadays wanna change calendars because they say, "Wow, this is not true." But I warn nowadays, because all the times when calendar changes came, or people wanna change calendars, it's always to do with power. And as I say, the solar calendar, okay, it was brought into our life by the Pope Gregory, and I'm suspicious of all the popes and Catholic Church and Rome. You know, of course, it has to do with power. That's what I'm talking about here. But the solar calendar, as such, is just nature. You know, you cannot manipulate it. It's a certain rhythm, a certain pattern that comes from nature, whatever that is, if it's God-made or whatever you can believe. But it's nature, so you follow this, and probably it's not such a bad idea, isn't it? So I would not change calendars easily. You have to think about this, and I would say it's a good idea to follow something like a solar calendar, because it's just nature. But the most important thing is that you find your own vibration, your own frequency. And I know this sounds like for some people of you, this sounds just my words. This sounds like hippie shit or something, but it's not, because this is elder. This is, you have to find your own rhythm. Every human being, every life form is a rhythm. Even each cell in our body has a certain rhythm of contraction, and you know, this is, everything follows in a rhythm. So the art of living, is you need to find your own rhythm, and you need to find your own rhythm and bring it in harmony with the bigger rhythm, with the big wheel that's turning. Actually, this is where all this stuff like astrology comes from, because it's only a tool of helping humans to tune your own rhythm into this big wheel. It's like when we're in a concert or in a big orchestra, you've got like 90 instruments, and maybe you're only one string of one violin from many, but every instrument has to be in tune. Every string has to be in tune with the other strings. If you're not in tune, you're producing a misharmonious tone. Now, and we feel this. You don't have to be a scientist. You feel, oh, now he's playing, there's something wrong. This doesn't sound right. Because only the right tuning is the harmony in music. This is what also already a long time ago people found out, the harmonics in music. This goes back to Pythagoras. Also interesting figure, another day, yeah. But now I just want to show how important this is to find your own rhythm, and then to bring it into tune with the bigger orchestra. Because then you have a nice tone, you're in harmony with others, and then you live a life in harmony. That's exactly what it is about. While if you're not in tune, if you don't have your own tune, and you follow some artificial tune, you're not in tune with nature, not in tune with this bigger wheels. You follow then indeed just like a slavish rhythm, just like Puku and Miku or like on a Roman galley. So this is why this stuff is so important. And I hope that that I can present you this continuity. For thousands of years, this was very important for human beings. Why was it important? Because there's something going on with the rhythm. Rhythm of life, the heartbeat, isn't it the first rhythm? I mean, it's a rhythm. Du-dum, du-dum, du-dum. It's always, it's yin or yang, bing, bang, tick-tack. Heart goes together and goes out. It's always the same. You always have this rhythm in a polar world. So the thing is, we need to find our own rhythm. Find out your rhythm. What is your vibration? You know, what is your sequence? And then strengthen this, and you get in harmony with bigger nature. Because that's the thing, when I'm saying, hey, you need to tune in yourself to the universe, then some people might say, well, how am I going to do that? I mean, wow, and then you start thinking, how do you won't find an answer in your mind on this. You need to follow your rhythm. You follow your own rhythm, because that's the great mystery of life, that if you follow your own rhythm, if you follow your own kind, if you be as you are, you're in harmony with a bigger thing. Because call it God or call it nature, whatever, there's always we are diverse people. We have different talents. We have different rhythms. But if we follow ourselves, we get a group harmony. And this is the art of living. This is what it's all about. So this is why this is so important to realize that for over thousands of years, rhythm comes together with rulership, and rhythm, and so rhythm also comes together with freedom and with being yourself. And this is absolutely basic stuff, and that's why I put so much emphasis on this and made this our topic for today. Next time we might speak about something totally different. I mean, we've done a couple of shots now, but it's not only archaeology in this field. It's just Because I told you last time about the Nebra sky disk, I feel that this stuff has come together. Yeah, so it's kind of volume two. But next time, I don't even know yet, we might hit something totally different. There's so much to say, so much more to come. And I would be happy if you stay with us, if you support us. If this is giving you something, we would be happy if you bring something back, support our YouTube channel, spread the vibes. If you can, hit the donation button, and any support is welcome. And yeah, so we can walk on. And thanks for your time for today, and see you next time. And always go with your rhythm, man. Ciao.